Open your Bible, if you would, to page 1044, if you have finished eating. Thank you for being present today. I want to talk to you today. In fact, I just changed your name 5 minutes ago. I first said I was going to talk about more of God, which is what Jimmy just sang about, and I've narrowed that down. I want to talk about knowing God, and I think it'll make sense in a moment. But be that as it may, 1044. You know, if you love something, two things. You want to spend time with it, whatever it is you love, and you want to know more about it. Now think with me, like let's say somebody, let's say, really loves golf or tennis or fishing or going on hikes or gardening, whatever it is. Whatever a person loves, they want to spend time with that thing they love, and they likewise want to know more about it. So true. Like golf, if somebody, they want to play golf, but not only just play golf, they want to know how to play golf better, know more about it, and they read books, take lessons, all these kind of things. That's just the way it is, whatever it is a person loves. Now, it's the same deal if you love someone. If you love someone, you want to spend time with that person, and you want to know more about that person. It's just a very natural thing. In fact, as recent as Sunday, we had this experience. Sunday, after church, after the second service, both of our grandchildren came up and said, "There's no school tomorrow," yesterday, Monday. "Can we go home and spend the night with you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, well, when are y'all coming?" They said, "Right now." "Right now, we're coming." I thought, oh my gracious, we hadn't prepared, you know, for their coming, for food, etc. But we always have plenty. So they came and they spent the night, and they were to go home at 4 o'clock yesterday. In fact, we don't have the grandchildren really all that much. And so yesterday morning, I just took off. I kind of adjusted my off day Thursday a little bit. So I took off yesterday till after lunch, just doing things with those grandkids because I love the grandkids. I want to spend time with them, and I want to get to know them better. By that, I mean get in their brain. Know what makes them tick, how they think, that kind of thing. You know, that's how it is. Well, now that's... Had I done this yesterday, that's where that story would end. But the fact is, right after lunch yesterday, Charlie Joe, our oldest grandchild, said, "Look, could we just stay on Monday night also and you take us to school Tuesday?" And I thought to myself, I don't know if I wanted to know y'all that much or not. But anyway, I said, "Yeah, you want me to call you?" "Oh, no. No, you let us handle it. We know how to work, Mom and Daddy. You stay out of it." And they got in the house, and they called, and they worked that thing out. And so, you know, but hey, don't we all love having our grandchildren come and stay? And don't we all enjoy when our grandchildren are going on about life as it is? But anyway, but that's the deal. Now, it's the same way with God. If a person loves God, and I know we all say we love God, but now think with me a moment. This is a little deep, but it'll be very practical in a moment. You want to spend time with God, we want to know God. Not just know about God. Not just know how we can get more from God. You know, the bookstores are filled with books on like knowing about God. About how to get more blessings from God. That seems to be the top seller now. You know, that'll draw a crowd. But the bottom line is, it's not that way at all. The important thing is that we know God more than we maybe know God at this very moment. That's the desire of my heart. In fact, if you look with me on page 1044, it was really the ambition of Paul's life. To simply do what? That he would just know God. Look with me. You're in Philippians chapter number 3. Let's look beginning in verse number 7. Paul said, "What things were gain to me." Now that's past tense. What things were gain to me. This is back before he became a believer. "These I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness is which is from God by faith. Now look in verse 10, and maybe you could remember this verse when you get home. If you want to know the passion and the motive of Paul's Christian life, it's Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Look at these words, that I may know Him. That's it. That was the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Now, with that little reading, let's just talk a little bit about knowing God. All of us would say, well, you know, we know God. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, I really know God. I'm not sure in this life we'll ever quite get 100% in that. But this thing is so real to me and so much part of kind of where I'm in my life at this time. I may even build on this next Tuesday a little bit. We'll just see about that. But the bottom line is, what are some things we can do specifically and things we cannot do specifically to help us know God? Like, know how He thinks and know how He's going to respond to this and respond to that. Just know God better. Well, that's what we're going to think about today. And what happens to us, though, is that we sometimes we listen to the wrong voice. We really do. You know, this is where Adam and Eve messed up. You know the story. Back in Genesis chapter 2, God very clear about what they could do in the Garden of Eden, what they could eat, what they could not do, what they could not eat. The voice of God was very clear. But when you go to Genesis chapter 3, this is the mess up chapter. They listened to the wrong voice. That's what they did. They listened to the wrong voice, and they paid dearly for it. And you and I, we still are paying dearly for it as well. That's when sin came into the world. They were deceived by the wrong voice. That would just sum up Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. God said, this is a situation. These are the guidelines. His voice very clear. In Genesis chapter 3, they were deceived. They listened to the wrong voice. I think this is why Jesus said to His disciples, take heed that you not be deceived. You know, I think about that. The disciples Jesus was concerned would be deceived. Now, if the disciples could be deceived, well, you and I don't have a chance. I mean, we don't measure up to that. And that's why Jesus said very carefully, take heed, be on watch, lest you be deceived. Now, what are some ways practically that we are deceived and hindered from knowing God in His fullness? Well, sometimes we are deceived by listening to our own voice, whether it be verbalized or just in our mind. Often I talk to myself, but not out loud. And you do the very same. We think. You know, thinking is talking, except there's no word coming out. But many times we're deceived by our own words, our own voice. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is death. You know, in our minds, many times we just kind of talk ourselves into believing this, believing that, and believing yonder, and we get deceived. So one of the ways that I really do believe the devil deceives us, he uses our own words to deceive our own selves. You know, we get in a situation that and yonder, and we think this, we think that, we sometimes verbalize that, and our ears hear that. If it's silently spoken, our mind hears that, our very soul hears that, and we deceive ourselves. And when we do that, we miss knowing God as we could and can know God. Sometimes we listen to the voices of others. You know, the Bible says there is wisdom in counsel. And so wise we are to get Christian counsel. And we want to be sure the counsel we get is godly counsel. But let me encourage you on that. Be sure whatever counsel you get, whether it's just from a friend or from a professional, be certain that it lines up with the Word of God. I mean, no counselor is as smart as God. And they may mean well, their intentions well may be right, and sometimes it could be us. We are maybe sharing with somebody in family, a friend, well, you know, my advice on this would be thus and so. Well, nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Bible commends the wisdom in counsel. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes counsel can also be wrong. You know, as I think about people that were offered the wrong counsel in the Bible, I think about old Job. You know, he had his wife, Ms. Job. You remember that story? He's going through all that mess. He had those three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. But worse than that, his wife, you know what she told him to do? You remember that? She told him to curse God and commit suicide. Aren't you glad you didn't marry her sister? I'm telling you, that is not a good deal. Your wife say, hey, what you need to do is curse God and commit suicide. Well, he paid no attention to that. He knew God too well to do such a thing. So all counsel is not good counsel. Sometimes we're deceived by listening to our own voice. Sometimes we're deceived by listening to the voices of others. And sometimes, many times I fear, we are deceived by circumstances. We get in a situation, and it's just part of life. Life has many situations, and we get in them. These are our circumstances, and we get in that, and we see no light at the end of the tunnel. We can't ignore circumstances. I mean, what is real is real. If someone has an illness, they have an illness. If someone's going through this, that, I mean, it's a real deal out there. Okay, we can't ignore that, but here's the deal. Don't leave God out of your circumstances. No matter what circumstance you go through, remember, you go through that, but God goes through that with you. He is right there. He's sovereign, and he knows what he's doing, and he works things out in a remarkable way. As recent as this weekend, we had that very issue at our church. Once a year, we have this thing we call Breaking Free. It's what it is. It's just a discipleship weekend for all of our students. Hundreds of our students come together. It's right here in this room, and it starts on Friday night. They spend the night in homes. They come back in here early Saturday morning. They have worship all Saturday morning, music, worship, etc. Saturday afternoon, they go out and do mission work. Saturday night, they come back in for church again. And then Sunday morning, they're back here for church. Sunday night. So it's a whole weekend of this. And we work diligently to have, you know, good speakers and good music that would relate to young people. Well, listen what happens. Wednesday of this past week, before Breaking Free to begin Friday night, the speaker that we've had scheduled, excellent speaker, calls to say that his son, I believe it was his son, is in ICU in the hospital in another state, and he's not going to be able to come. Now, it's Wednesday morning we get that word. They call me and tell me, what do we do? What do you suggest? Well, you know, I thought, well, I don't know. I called John. We talked about a thing or two, and of course we talked to Austin, talked to Josh, talked to Pam. We finally said, well, let's wait till 1 o'clock and let's think about what to do. Well, long story short, we had to get a speaker. It's kind of hard to get a good speaker short notice like that, but a really great speaker saw we had an ox in the ditch, and he said, look, I'll come do Friday night. I'll do Saturday morning. I'll do Saturday night. But Saturday night after I finish, I'll have to drive back to Austin because I'll have to preach in my church Sunday morning. It's too short a notice for me to get someone to preach for me on Sunday morning. And he's very, very good. And we said, well, we'd rather have, you know, Friday night you, Saturday morning you, Saturday night you, than to lose you. So we bring this guy. Let me tell you something. This guy, better than the guy we had scheduled. He knew how to communicate with students. I came down, I heard two of his messages. I just I mean, he just was who God had for us. So what I say is this, you know, we were in a circumstance. Now, we all get in circumstances. They don't always work out good. But the bottom line is, you know, in those things you can be very deceived. It would have been so easy to say, now look, we've lost our good speaker. We'll just have to get us an old ho-hum whatever in here and do the best we can. Worst scenario, we'll all fill in and speak. Well, the kids have all heard us. You know, they don't want to hear us again. Well, I'm sure they do want to hear us, but I'm just trying to be humble. The point I make is we didn't leave God out of the circumstances, and I met today with both of our student ministers this morning to say, guys, we had one of the best break and freeze we've ever had. In fact, I don't have all the numbers right before me, but like there were like 25, 26, 27 students saved in this room over the weekend of breaking free. And I bless God for that. Bless God for that. I mean, that's not normal. That's not normal. Don't leave God out of circumstances. Now, if we want to know God, listen, if we really want to know God more, not just about God, or not know just what we can get from God, what do? Well, the first thing we do is we agree with God's Word. In other words, we listen to what we have to say. God gave us a brain. We're going to think what we think. Nothing. We should think. And we're going to listen to what others might suggest. And we're going to try to look at the circumstances and figure out what to do. But the bottom line is, if I want to know God more, I'm going to have to do what? I'm going to have to agree with God's Word. You know, in God's Word, that little phrase, fear the Lord, it's there so many times. Fear God, depart. So many times, what does it mean to fear God? It means that this is the idea. This is not a translation of the Hebrew word, especially in the Old Testament, but this is the idea. It means you respect God's ways as revealed in His Word so much that you choose His opinion over anybody else. So one great way to know God more, is to agree with His Word. And then the second thing we have to understand is, as we read His Word, you can't agree with it if you don't read it. As you read God's Word, and I can't explain this, but this is true, what I say to you. As you read your Bible, you're reading the voice of God. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. And here's the most amazing, unexplainable thing. This is why I encourage people, don't just read a little verse. You don't have to read the whole Bible. You don't have to read a whole book. But, you know, little dad will do you, but that's for Brill Cream. We're not in the Brill Cream here. We're in the Word of God. If you'll just read a little scripture, here's what you'll find. Every time it will happen, if you'll just read a little bit, reading the voice of God creates a hunger and thirst in you to know God more. I can't explain it, but I guarantee it. It works every single time, and what a blessed thing it is. The more you will read your Bible, the more of God you will want, and the more of God you want, the more of God you will know. That is just simply how it works. There is an unexplainable power in reading the Word of God. You know, I read the other day, I'd never thought of it quite like this. Let me just read this little sentence, that most people today use God like a farmer uses a milk cow, using Him for what they can get without regard of who He is. You know, that's the big deal today. It's like, you know, what can we get from God? Well, we all get a lot from God. But more important than what we get from God is who God is. And the more we know Him, the more we're going to love Him, and the more we're going to experience things we would never experience any other way. And Father, I thank You for that. And God, all of us from time to time are kind of like that old farmer with the milk cow. We kind of focus, we don't realize it, God, on what we can get from You without regard of who You are. And God, this whole idea of knowing God, God, people are complex. I think about that often. Like my next door neighbor. His house is not complex, but people are complex. All people, each of us. It's easy to understand a house, but when we try to understand people, it becomes a very complex thing. And then God, to move that to the spiritual, to think we could, with our minds, understand God, but we can understand you more. And I believe, God, never fully until that glorious day that we meet you face to face. But God, help us as we read Scripture to just realize we're reading the voice of God. And the more we read, the more we want to know you. And God, my prayer would be that my passion and the passion of each one of us would be that of the Apostle Paul, that I might know him. And God, when we know you, it's just like none other thing. Lord, bless each one who's here today. And God, help us as we journey through this day to give some thought to what the passion of our life is. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would lead each of us to have hunger and thirst to know you even more than we ever have. In Jesus' name, amen.